Hello, my name's Bernadette Pattitt and I'm the mother of five children. When I was expecting my fourth child, I was going along for the 18th week scan, and it was the first scan ever that I'd been to the hospital without my husband. I'd invited a nursery student who'd been helping me out as part of her course. She was looking after my three older children. The radiographer noticed that something wasn't quite right and said that she wanted to check something out. And when she came back, she said that I needed to be seen by a consultant. And I said to her, I'm happy to be seen by a consultant as long as no one mentions the word abortion to me. So I was seen by the consultant, and he suspected a very rare syndrome, non-genetic, called Andy Walker syndrome, that wouldn't be diagnosed until the baby was born. He said that I could have as many scans as I wanted to during my pregnancy. He never spoke to me about termination at all. And in fact, when I left the room, he said we can always pray for a miracle, as miracles do happen. So I felt from that moment that I was in very good hands. And he certainly did look after me during the rest of my pregnancy. That pregnancy was very special to me. I felt the support of loved ones, people in the community, because I'd gone home and I'd told everybody that I was expecting a baby with an abnormality of the brain. I'd asked to find out what sex she was because I wanted to be able to pray for her, and I wanted to give her a name because it wasn't certain how long she was going to live. We found out that she was a little girl and that we were going to call her Maria. So it was a very special time. Over the next 2 years, we had several hospital appointments with different consultants. It was a very busy time. She also had a cyst at the back of her head that was very painful to her. So for the first 9 months of her life, we had to be very careful that we didn't knock her with any material, any paper, that she didn't lie down on her head because she would scream in agony. She went to a very good school. It was run by a head teacher who was a practicing Christian, so the ethos was very Christian, which was very heartwarming for me. She led a full life of full curriculum, horse riding, cake making, science, lots of different things, and she loved school. By the time she was 14, she'd had 12 operations, so that meant my staying in hospital with her. Often they were just routine shunt operations. And then she had one when she was 13, and the surgeon came back and said that the shunt operation had gone very well, but that they had noticed high levels of creatinine in her blood, which is a sign of kidney function. She needed to be seen by a kidney specialist, and unfortunately at the time there were only 13 paediatric kidney units in the UK, so it meant going up to Nottingham, and within a week she was diagnosed with chronic kidney failure and given only 3 months to live. So this was completely out of the blue. I think it's worth saying here that there had been an option to follow the route of dialysis and hope for a kidney transplant. But that would have involved going up to Nottingham 4 times a week. It would have involved Maria being on dialysis an hour at a time. So we chose the route of palliative care, and we were very well supported. For me, the most important thing was that Maria was happy and that she wasn't in any pain. I knew that she couldn't have gone down the route of a kidney transplant if and when that became available. And the beautiful thing was that the last few months of her life, we as a family were there with her, that nobody had left home. And because Maria was very much a part of our family, it would have been very hard for her in the future as the older children started to go off to university. She was used to a vibrant household for people coming in and out and having the love of her siblings and having a lot of fun with them. Fortunately, Maria was able to stay at home until the very end of her life. And in the last couple of days, a hospital bed was moved into the sitting room, and it was on a Sunday morning when my husband and I were washing her that she just gently slipped away. And it was a very beautiful death because, again, everybody was at home. In fact, two of the children had gone out to Mass and they were able to bring the priest back with them. So Maria was anointed within a few moments of her dying. And then I'd seen how a neighbour had treated her elderly mother in death just a week before. And I decided that we could keep Maria at home overnight. And from 11 o'clock until 11 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, people came to pay their respects. And so many people have said it was the most beautiful thing they've ever experienced in her life. We'd finished washing her, we'd washed her hair, we'd blow-dried it, and we had all her clothes prepared. So we were able to put her clothes on her and lay her out. And when my mother-in-law arrived 2 hours after Maria had died, as Granny was sitting there looking at Maria, Maria's face turned into a gentle smile, and that was the most beautiful thing as well to watch. And Granny actually said, "Gosh, she's smiling." And we had a lot of wonderful memories with Maria. Every year we used to go on holiday with her, and when we used to travel down by car on holiday, we used to have to listen to the Tweenies tape the whole way down and the whole way back, because Maria loved the Tweenies, and it wasn't worth her getting annoyed or being cross with us, so we used to let her have her own way. And all the children could swim very well, and Maria loved swimming, so we were fortunate enough to be able to hire villas with pool, and we just used to spend the 2 weeks there swimming, and Maria would swim for up to 5 hours at any given time. And then she used to tease her dad because it was his job to help her out of the swimming pool, and she would it would take her about an hour to get out of the pool because she liked the attention of her dad. Maria actually couldn't walk very far, so we were restricted what we did on holiday and where we went. So there were times when it wasn't easy. We couldn't just say, well, let's go off to the park or go off to the cinema. Everything had to be planned. One of the things when Maria died that came across through messages of condolence was how Maria had united our family. And it's something that in the business of family life I had completely overlooked. And when we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary 2 years ago, it's one of the things I said in our speech, that Maria had been a uniting force in our family for 14 years. Because during the course of the day, Bob would get her out of bed, especially as she became a very big girl. He would take her to the bathroom. I would take over and wash her. He would then come back, take her out of the bath. He would take her down the stairs. And again, it was a game with Maria going down the stairs with her dad, so it took extra time. I would help her with her breakfast. I would get her sorted out for school. And then the whole process in reverse would repeat itself in the evening. Bob would take her up the stairs to bed. I would get her undressed. He would put her in the bath. I would read her a bedtime story. So we were really seeing each other at different times during the day. And when she died, we didn't have that anymore. And just that we worked together. Fortunately, Bob worked locally, so he came back at lunchtime. So if there were days when I was pulling my hair out, he would make me a cup of tea or he'd make me lunch. But we definitely were united in our love for Maria and working to help her and to giving her the best of life.